being extraordinary, or because it's not a place you arrive, right? You're always working towards it. But it's kind of this process of we're all born unremarkable, but it's the things we do and the work we put in that makes us extraordinary.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me from New Jersey, USA. I've got Jeremy Slate in the house. Jeremy, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me back. It's been so long and it's just been great to reconnect.
Absolutely. Jeremy has been on our podcast. I was trying to even think how long ago we were talking about podcasting.
2017, I think.
2017. And I know you and I were some of the first, you know, to kind of come up on the podcasting scene, like way back in the day. So much growth has happened since then. And for those of you that are not familiar with Jeremy, he is the creator and the founder of Create Your Own Life podcast, which studies the highest performers in the world. You know, you originally studied literature at Oxford University, and you've really been able to leverage podcasting, you know, to build this huge brand, being ranked number 78 in iTunes 100. And beyond the podcasting, you are also an incredible coach, business leader. You know, we were just talking before how you've been able to scale your team to, you know, just over 20 something employees. So talking a lot about that growth. And recently you have a book that is coming out called Extraordinary or Unremarkable to Extraordinary, and igniting your passion to go from passive observer to creator of your own life, which is such an accomplishment. And you're already, you know, 1,000+ copies sold, no surprise on the book. So much to dive into about the shifts of, you know, the evolution of business, how to scale, and what's been new for you now. So welcome back to the show, Jeremy. Fill in any gaps that I might've left out and give us a glimpse into the personal life.
Yeah, it's great to be back first and foremost. And it's interesting because I feel like we even had a different company name last time you and I spoke. We went through a tumultuous split with a business partner, and then I had to learn how to kind of like start a brand from ground zero again while still keeping employees with no revenue. So it's been interesting. I've also had to learn how to go from being somebody that is kind of, you know, more of the COO production gear type to really being a founder and somebody running a company. So it's been interesting over the years. In addition to that, you know, we moved last year. We're on like 4 acres over here. I have a 1-year-old daughter, a 3-year-old daughter, and we've got a lot of farm animals here. We've got 2 dozen chickens now. I just got 4 more the other day, 3 roosters, my pig Remington, and our duck, Mr. Duck Duck. And we're just having a good time here from New Jersey.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, I think it's such in theme with, you know, the conversation of your book From Unremarkable to Extraordinary, which, you know, in so many ways, even if I think about our last episode in 2017, people from the outside in would be like, you have this great podcast, you're doing all the things. I think at that point, you didn't have the kids yet. You definitely didn't have the chickens or the pig. But there's been this pursuit of excellence, of what does it take to really succeed in all areas and to be in the pursuit of that extraordinariness. And I'd love for you to share a little bit about your relationship to that and how it's been for you over the last many years and what's really inspired, you know, the context of the book.
You know, it's interesting because I think, and I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I feel like so much of the information we've been given about success is just wrong. You know, you definitely have to have a big dream. You definitely have to have big ideas, but at the same time, success is 95% work and how hard you're willing to work and how many times you're willing to show up. So, you know, that was really the concept I was trying to put out here because it's something I learned in my own life. Like I worked through so many different things that didn't work out for me until, you know, our company really took off in 2017, 2018. So for me, it's taking a look at some of the incredible people I've interviewed, like Major League Baseball World Series champions, the former CIA director, Hall of Fame athletes, and then really taking those things that are concepts that match with their life, but also match in my own life. Like, you know, the value of adversity and what you can get out of that, leadership and what it really looks like, as well as even understanding, you know, why it's important to follow what you want to do and not live your life for other people. So that's really what I've tried to convey here. Some of it's been through, you know, my own life, as well as, you know, what I've learned from some of the incredible guests I've had. But I think when you look at being extraordinary or really reaching and working towards that level, because it's not a place you arrive, right? You're always working towards it, but it's kind of this process of we're all born unremarkable, but it's the things we do and the work we put in that makes us extraordinary. And that's really what I'm trying to help people capture.
Yeah, I love that. And I know Unconventional Lifers, definitely check out, you know, Jeremy's podcast. You have so many guests, as you were mentioning before. And, you know, it's one of the things I love about, you know, the show is just the ability to come into other people's world, get a glimmer and how it maps into your own life and being willing to connect. And I know that you've gone through all different iterations where I think it's so easy sometimes when stuff gets difficult or challenging, or you feel like you've even hit your own peak. How do you keep having vision? How do you keep creating? How do you keep designing rather than being in that passive place? And that passivity can happen at any level. And so what advice can you give to our listeners? And what have you learned about that process in your own life? And even in the scaling that you've done since last time we spoke?
This isn't something that was in the book, but like when I look at it, I'm a huge Thom Yorke and Radiohead fan. It's interesting because Radiohead had this album come out in 2001, 2000. It was called Kid A.
Such a good album.
it's such a good album. And like Thom Yorke just made a bunch of sounds and noises and things like that. I was listening to an interview that somebody had with Thom Yorke, and they're like, you know, Tom, like you had all these like just weird experimental albums through the late 90s, early 2000s. When you're looking at this, why did you do this? He goes, because, you know, I had writer's block. And he said, the only thing I could do was try to continue to create. And I think when you look at it, you know, saying like, I'm not inspired or I'm not in the right place or I can't create right now, you kind of just have to work through that. And I think that's a huge lesson that I've learned really from Radiohead and Thom Yorke. It's something you have to be willing to work through and just try to continue to create. You are eventually going to hit that, even if you're not having the right day at that point in time. That's a huge lesson I've learned in terms of like scaling and what that looks like. And frankly, it's kind of in that same vein of being willing to learn, being willing to get better at what I'm doing, and also being willing to be imperfect and kind of just put it out there. That's a huge concept of done is better than perfect. And sometimes that's what you have to look at it as, because done is, you know, getting attention, getting out there and working on its second iteration, when perfect still kind of thinking about how it's going to get out there. It's been sloppy. It's been interesting, but at the same time, it's helped us to grow. And there's been periods when we've grown, there's been periods when we've dipped, but frankly, it came down to, as a founder, and this is probably something you have experienced as well, is realizing that, sure, everybody I hire may not do it as good as me, or, you know, hopefully they do it better than me. But I think that's a huge barrier early on, as we think somebody else isn't going to do it as good as we can do it. But I think once you realize that the only way you can expand is through people and getting them set up in the right way, we really focused on writing better processes, putting together better training, getting people set up in the right way. And frankly, when COVID happened, I was like, okay, so a lot of people are going to be out of work right now. There's going to be a lot of people I can hire I wouldn't have access to before. So we went on a hiring spree when that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that spree really led you into scaling in the way you have. And I've seen so many go from this, you know, solopreneur, this idea of like, I've got myself, or I've got my two contractors, or my VA, my freelancer. And that is great. And I've been there before. I've been on all sides of it. And there you have as well. And I think making that shift, like you said, that I'm just have my hands in all the buckets all the time, to what is my role and where am I in my highest genius that I can leverage my team? Any recommendations for those that are wanting to scale? What's worked? What's working? You know, obviously the people are a huge big part of it. I'm sure the systems are another big part of it as well. But I know that's one piece of how you create your whole master puzzle of life. So any thoughts on all of that?
For me, number one, I feel the biggest struggle that I've seen, at least for hiring for myself, and also a lot of people I've talked to, is, you know, you hire somebody and you're like, all right, so you're the salesperson, now go sell some stuff. And you're like, hey, why aren't you selling anything? You're like, well, what does your salesperson say? What do they do? Who do they talk to? And I think one of the biggest issues we have primarily in expanding is we try to put somebody in a position that doesn't exist. And one of the biggest things that I've done is every position in my company I've worn at one point in time. You know, I was our first publicist at Command Your Brand. And what did I do? I wrote down every single thing I did. I wrote down every single way I did it. I wrote down every way I would answer an email, answer the phone, whatever it may be. So then when I hired somebody, they could take that, they could improve on it, but they could take it and actually inherit a position rather than say, well, I don't know what to do. Jeremy, help me. And I would just be like, oh, you know, it'd just be faster to do it myself. So you have to really kind of get that down. So I've done that with each and every individual position in our company. Now, a big thing as well that a lot of companies don't think about is also training. Our team is working on administrative training, like different types of administrative stuff every single week. So because of that, we're really working on the development of our team. And that's been a huge thing as well. So you have to invest in good processes, because then people can actually inhabit a position and then worry about training them well. And I think that's, for me, I had a huge barrier to that early on, because I'm like, oh, it's too expensive, or I can't do these different things. But, you know, how expensive is it when you put all the time into hiring somebody and they leave? So there's just so much that goes into that. So if you can get those base points in, you know, you'll start to grow. But I think the thing that we've found that kind of where the magic is when you can get a team that likes to compete together and play a game together. Recently, the new Top Gun movie came out.
So
and
good.
One of it was, we saw it twice. And one
oh,
of my,
I know.
One of my team members is like, so I have an idea. What if we run our business on statistics, so everybody's responsible for at least 1 to 3 stats. So they said, what if 80% of the people in the company have rising statistics 1 week? You guys are going to buy all of us tickets to see Top Gun. I was like, you're on. So when they did it, we hit the 80% number. We bought everybody IMAX tickets to see Top Gun. And because of that, like, they're helping each other. They're working together. They're saying, what do you need? What do you need? So we've tried to kind of, like, yes, we've expanded the company. We built the right people. But at the same time, you've got to get people into the place of playing a game, because that's another big area for growth.
Absolutely. And I also find with that game, you know, the play, the competition, all of it, the joy, the significance of these metrics, you know, it becomes more about, you know, playing for the experience rather than playing for the outcome. And I also know, like, who you have to be, right? Either to play the game, whether it's in a team, for those that are listening, that might be, you know, within a company, or those that are founders or business owners, those beliefs and then those habits and the ways of being for me have made such a big difference in my life of how I get to show up in these different areas. And I know habits are a big part, you know, of you, and also that you talk about a little bit in the book in terms of, you know, you've got these 8 habits to becoming extraordinary. And I'd love for you just to speak a little bit about some of those habits and how those habits shape who you are and how you show up to all these different areas.
Well, some of it's habit and some of it's just the viewpoint, right? Like, you look at the idea of adversity or things that are difficult in our life, you're going to see adversity approached in like 3 different ways by somebody. You're going to have one person that approaches it in a way of, oof, that looks hard, I'm going to go this way and, you know, kind of sit in the couch. You're going to have another person that approaches it and says, you know, why do these things always happen to me? You know, everybody hates me. They're hurting me. Like, what's happening here? And you're going to have another person that says, okay, I'm going to sit here for a second. That looks like it kind of stinks, but I know how I'm going to be on the other side of it when I go through it. So they look at it as an opportunity to grow, become better, and they understand it's a transformation. It's a metamorphosis. So that's a real viewpoint thing and how you approach adversity. So you look at a lot of professional athletes, and that's a big thing. And I think there's been some great athletes, Tom Brady's one of them, that have been either late round draft picks or not drafted at all. And that's actually a huge advantage, because you've had to work harder, you've had to study harder, you had to go through all these different things, and you're able to take more. You know, when you look at adversity, it's kind of like setting your body to a thermometer, right? Like, let's say you live in a cold environment and you can just take it way colder than everybody else when they come to your state because you've been in it. It's the same thing with adversity. The more of it you've been through, the more of it you could take. And I think you're able to kind of sit through a lot more than other people. So that's one really big concept, is how you deal with adversity in your life and how you look at it. Another thing I would say is really looking at, you know, how you approach your dreams and what you want to do in your life. Because I know for myself, I have a master's degree in ancient history, which I don't use. And my goal was to be a college professor. And I eventually ended up teaching high school. When I looked at it, you know, until my mom had a stroke in 2012, I didn't really look at what I was doing and say, well, is this really my dream or is this someone else's? And when I looked at it, it was like, well, you know, this is something I think my parents want to do. You know, what do I want to do? I don't know. Let me explore it. So it's really finding what you want to do with your life. But I think bringing into that, there's the idea of following your passion versus finding your passion, right? I think when you look at it, following your passion is a really bad idea, right? Because you're following something, you're hoping it's going to work out. Whereas finding your passion, you're going to try things and hope something works out eventually, right? Like, I've sold life insurance, I've done online marketing, I've done all these different things until I arrived where I am now. But finding your passion implies work and working towards something. You know what I mean? Not just kind of passively waiting for life to happen to you. I think I just turned 35 a few weeks ago. So I guess I fall somewhere in the millennial generation. I feel like one of the weird things about my generation is they're like, well, I'm not inspired with that, or I'm not interested in that, so I'm just not going to do anything. It's like, whoa, you got to kind of do some stuff to find out what you like and what you don't like. And that's how you get really great at something. There's a book by Cal Newport called So Good They Can't Ignore You. And Cal talks about this idea of finding something you're good at and continue to get better and better and better at it. And that's where passion actually comes in. So to me, if you can kind of run through, you know, your life through the eyes of some of these concepts, like, you can do some pretty amazing things. But we get a lot of bad information and we inherit it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know, even the nuances, and I've seen this a lot, you know, whether it's the events or some of the conversations I've had where, you know, it might seem like you're on the court doing the things, like going through the motions, but there's still like a passive waiting at the effect of those things versus like when you're in the zone, whether you're going for a sports goal or whatever it is, like you are all hands on deck, like full throttle. There is like this in the driver's seat type of feeling. And that energy wise can be very subtle, but how it shows up in terms of on the court results, I think is so massive in terms of the spectrum that you get from that subtle shift. And have you experienced that in your own life a little bit, and any perspective that you can offer, you know, with the book? And I imagine that you have, but I know for myself, like that little nuance is really such a game changer.
It's like, you know, being in flow, right? Like when you're in something, everything else comes easier after that. And I was actually talking to my wife about this last night. And the thing that she told me she really admires about me is like, when I put my mind to a project, I'm going to get it done. And sometimes I kind of overcommit to it. Like right now we have an au pair, a live-in nanny that's moving in July. So I'm actually losing my office space in our house. I'm like, well, shoot, our garage is huge and we don't use it. So I've actually started this project of framing out the whole garage, putting in all the insulation. The electrician came in and rewired the room. And then we've been doing drywall and all these things. And I've been working till like midnight, making this sure this thing is done, because I'm somebody that I like to work things through to it done. So it's, I have this weird way of getting on a project and just getting through it. Is it always pretty? No. In fact, I often overestimate how fast I'm going to do it. It's usually a lot longer than I think. But I think when you have the end in mind, you kind of get in this state of, you know, you're just going to do what you have to do in order to get to it, because you actually have the end in mind. But I think a lot of people fail to picture what that end is going to be like and what it's going to, you know, be to arrive there and feel like and look like. And, you know, it may sound a little weird, but it's to be able to put yourself in that future position is really vital to actually reaching a goal, because it kind of puts you more in a flow state.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at goal setting, so, you know, I know for me, I often use meditation or various different tools, visualization. For you, how do you approach goal setting? And is it that you really focus on the experience of the moment? Do you clearly like go for the goals? Like you've got your 5, 10, 15. I know you measured like metrics are a big thing on the team, but how do you approach it? And what have you seen work through all the conversations that you've had with all these different people?
So it may not work for everybody, but I'm neurotic. The way I tend to do it is that we, so every January, I make an entire battle plan of what the year is going to look like in terms of the dates things are done, the targets to get those things done, the targets and the weight of the targets to get those things done. And then I tend to track my year, how I'm doing on those things. Now, the thing I do now that I didn't do when I first started doing this is making smaller sub targets and actually celebrating those sub targets. Because I think one of the things that I didn't do is I didn't celebrate the small wins on the way to a major win. So for me, that's one of the big things I'm doing is we start the year planning out the entire year and what it's going to look like. You know, we knew when the book launch was happening. We knew when the new product was releasing. We knew when we were going to, you know, be adding services or things like that. And then, as I said, it's a little neurotic because I plan way too much in January, but it does set me up well right for the rest of the year. Do those things always work out perfectly? No. And sometimes you got to kind of reevaluate a plan. But I found for me, it's making sure that I'm actually celebrating those small wins on the way to a big win, which I did not do before. Because I'm somebody that if I do not win, I am not happy. I'm not going to be great in that. And my wife is somebody that will celebrate everything. And so because of that, she's really helped me in that way to make sure I'm celebrating those small wins on the way to the bigger wins. And it's easier to get there because you're in a better mental state. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're like kind of not feeling good or cranky or everything else, everything is harder. And I think if you can put yourself in a good space where you're celebrating more, you're going to win more.
Absolutely. And I also that frequency of celebration, like for so long, it's this perpetual moving target. So without being able to like physically anchor, whether that's a dinner, whether that's like a massage, it could be anything, right? It doesn't have to be massive. It could be an object. For me lately, it's been jewelry. I love anchoring like wins and jewelry. It's a new thing. But being able to do those different things makes such a difference moving forward. And, you know, I know you got this book that's coming out as well.
Can I add something to that too? Because we do something that's super lame, Jules. So for revenue targets, we have different revenue targets that we've wanted to hit. And we've hit a couple of them since we started this game. But my wife and I in our liquor cabinet have different leveling values of bottles of champagne. There's the cheap ones to the really good ones to the, and each one is labeled what the revenue target is going to be for that bottle. And that's been kind of fun. That's been a really good celebration thing for us.
That's so good. And talk about practical, because you can see it, you touch it every time you open it, it's like right there and unconnected.
And it has a label on it too. It's like, when you hit this, you can have it.
Talk about the play though, and like use your creativity to create these things, because it does. And I also find the more that I take the times, and maybe it's been true for you, the more the success and those goals that I think are going to happen in 6 months or a year start happening in like 1 or 2 months, and the timeline becomes faster as well. And so such good perspective. And I'm curious, you know, with the book that you have coming out, has that been a goal that's been on the radar for a long time? Is that been a new thing? Like what's the process about that? And what can our listeners expect from the upcoming book?
So here's the interesting thing about it is when I started my podcast back in 2015, So that's like almost 7 years ago now at this point. Like the goal was always to write a book, but the problem was I always told myself I wasn't ready, or the timing wasn't right, or, you know, I wasn't right, whatever it may be. But I finally got to a point where I was just like, you know, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. And I actually ended up connecting with Jesse Krieger from Lifestyle Entrepreneur Press. And I just had a long conversation with him about like this idea. And he goes, this is, you need to do this. And like, he was just on my butt for like, I can't even tell you how long, telling me I had to do this book. And I kind of needed somebody to finally push me. So I committed to doing it in 2019, wrote the entire book and got to the end. I'm like, this is terrible. So I ended up actually getting rid of the whole first version. And then 2020 happened and the whole world changed. And frankly, I got clearer on my own voice through that process. And I'm so happy with what we put together in that process. And I did it kind of weird, because what I did is I took transcripts from interviews that I really liked. I ordered them in a Google Doc. Then I took and deleted all the things that didn't matter, took those then and really made them into like literary, if that makes sense, rather than just like this person said, that person said, like turning it more into like prose. And then in between, I used the voice feature in Google Docs to then actually add more, you know, verbiage to that. And then obviously check that after, because it's only like 80% accurate. And then my editor had a field day because there was like 400 and something misspellings and everything else. But like, it really created something cool because I was able to really capture a lot of, you know, what we had in these conversations. And that's why I'm so excited about it, you know, like from how to tackle adversity the right way to, you know, how to use, you know, those losses to become more, you know, winning more often, how to create opportunities for yourself as well. Because I think as well, if you look at like somebody I think of, Rebecca Minkoff, you know, Rebecca Minkoff is the designer. Yeah. So the way she got famous is she had designed a purse for a movie set for Jenna Elfman. And the shipping got all messed up and the purse never made it to Jenna Elfman. So she's walking down the street with this purse because she's like, well, I've never had a new handbag before, so I guess I'll carry it. And somebody said, well, who designed that? And she's like, I did. And that was kind of the way that her company got started, was somebody noticing this purse. You got to create opportunities for yourself even when things don't work out. So there's just so much, you know, that I really wanted to put together that, you know, I was able to kind of grab all these concepts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited for the book that's coming up. I'm sure with the different guests, you know, I think we started our podcast, you know, and yours has evolved
around the same time.
Right around the same time. And we were like new, trying to figure it out. But the repertoire, you know, of episodes, I know is vast. And, you know, for those that want to take advantage of the book, where is the best place they should go? I know it's in the pre-launch, probably by the time people are hearing this episode and after, it'll be fully alive in the world. But where should people go to follow along with the book?
Yeah, so they can head over to getextraordinarybook.com and grab their copy. And if they actually head over there and come back with their order number or their receipt or whatever, we'll give them a free version of the audiobook, which is actually launching in September, as well as our audio guide, 30 Days to Extraordinary, which is almost like having an additional whole audiobook with the books. That's getextraordinarybook.com.
Love that. We'll throw all those links to Unconventional Lifers at the website, unconventionallifeshow.com. So my last question for you, Jeremy, before we wrap up this interview and this episode is about the unconventional life. And, you know, I've asked you this before, but I'm sure the definition is different than it was then. And is, you know, when you think about this unconventional life, even think about your book, you know, this Getting Extraordinary, all these different things, what does it mean to you now?
This is going to sound funny, but this is something my wife's like my best friends. These are the things we talk to you about all the time. You know, like my life's quirky. It's quirky. The people I hire are cool, but somewhat quirky. And I think that's what an unconventional life is. It's not worrying about what other people want. It's not worrying about society wants. It worries about, like, you know, the impact you want to make and what makes you happy and, you know, the life you want to build. And you're not building it off of what other people want. Yeah. Am I weird? Absolutely. But you know what? I'm unconventional and I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like if anything, for most people, COVID gave the permission to be like, yeah, I'm totally weird. Or yeah, I'm totally this way. And it is cool because that's what it is. And that's all there is. And all the extra, you know, stuff.
That's so right though, because I used to be so nervous about like my kids jumping into a Zoom call before or something like that, or yeah, I just don't care anymore. I really don't.
No, totally. I was watching this video. It was like some presidential interview. And anyways, like the kid like walks in through the office or whatever. And the guy is like horrified. And the guy on the Zoom's reaction was like, no big deal. And that is the world that we're, you know, becoming into now, which is great. So
I was on a call once and my 3-year-old walks in and she's probably two and a half at this point. And she walks in and she goes, Daddy, I just pooped and you got to wipe my butt. And the lady's just staring at me. And I look at her and I go, yeah, that one's mine. And we just went right back into the call, but it's like life is, I feel like it's better in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So good, Jeremy, to have you on the show. For those that want to check out your podcast, that want to follow along in everything you're doing, I know you also have an amazing agency, Command Your Brand, and you do so many different things. What's the best place for people to check all that out and to stay in touch?
Yeah. So if they want to check out the agency side of things, where we help founders to tell their stories on the right podcast, is we're at commandyourbrand.com. Or if they want to check out the podcast or anything else I'm doing on the personal branding side, it's over at jeremyryanslate.com.
Amazing. We'll throw those links up at unconventionallifeshow.com. Jeremy, it was so great to catch up with you again to hear all the amazing things. Whenever we have like the repeat episodes of like, where are you now after like, what, 5 years, 4 years? God, it's been a while. Yeah, it's so good to hear everything that's going on. And congratulations on the book.
Hey, thank you so much for having me back.
Thanks so much, everyone.